Isaiah chapter 43, beginning at verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up. To the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And now again, please turn with me to your New Testament. Please go to the book of Romans. We'll be reading Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31 to 37. If you are using your Pew Bible, you should find that in page 944. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord, it endures forever. How do you feel, dear brothers and sisters of the Lord, if your father, he throws a javelin at you to kill you? This is what happened with Jonathan. King Saul, he tried to kill Jonathan because he was sincere and faithful to his friend David. How do you feel when your father, he sacrifices you to his enemies so that he can have his big houses? This is what happened with the children of Manasseh. The king Manasseh, he offered his children to the pagan gods so that he can have riches. And you may be thinking, Those are bad kings. Those are wicked men. But the truth is, even the heroes of faith, they were not exempt from this. Let me give you two examples. Noah. You know, Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. The scriptures calls him as a righteous man. But you know what happened in Genesis chapter 9? He got drunk, and his son, Ham, when he saw his father nakedness, and he tells his brother, Noah curses his very own descendants, Canaan. And again, for 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, the scripture calls Lot as a righteous man. But again, we know from scriptures, Genesis chapter 19, he gave his two virgin daughters to the men, to the sexual predators, so that he can protect his caste. Whether you had an abusive father in the past, whether your father did not love you as you ought to, whether you did not know your father at all, if you are here this evening, God wants to comfort you. God wants to console you. And this brings us to the theme of our sermon. The Almighty God is your faithful Father in Lord Jesus Christ. The Almighty God is your faithful Father in Christ Jesus. We will see this truth in three different points. How God the Father has created you in Christ Jesus. How God the Father has adopted you in Christ Jesus. And finally, how God the Father has provided for you in Christ Jesus. Let me begin with how God the Father has created you in Christ Jesus. And if you use the words, in our days, you use the words of our catechism, the answer that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father for the sake of Christ, his Son. If we use this in our day and age, people would say, that's foolish. That is ridiculous. Why should we believe that? And they would say, we have science. We have the Big Bang Theory. They talk about evolution. And they go on that man is just an animal. He's a social animal. While I can talk why it is unscientific to say such things, but what does the scripture say? Contrary to the world, what does the scripture say? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And Apostle John, he picks up the theme in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Nothing that was made without him. And Apostle Paul, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, he says the same thing. By him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him. And for him. And in the passage that we read a few minutes ago, in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, God says, I created you, O Jacob. I formed you, O Israel. Boys and girls, please lend me your ears, because this is such a wonderful truth that is found throughout the passage of scriptures, and we should cherish it Because as the world says, you're just an animal, you're here today, you're gone tomorrow, you die, you drink, you live your life for your pleasure. But on the other hand, the scripture says, God says, you are here because God created you in Christ Jesus. You are here, not because of random chance. God created you, both body and soul, after His own image and likeness. And again, Isaiah 43:7, we read, we were created for God's glory. He knows us intimately and so thoroughly. He knows us so much that even the very hair in our heads are numbered. And that's why the psalmist in Psalm 139, he says, you created my inmost beings. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. Brothers and sisters in Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father has created us in Christ Jesus. Let us see how God the Father has adopted us in Christ Jesus. Now again, look with me with the Heidelberg Catechism, the answer again. That the eternal Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by His eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father for the sake of Christ, His Son. And again, a side note, if you're watching us online, if you're new to the Reformed faith, please don't think that this book we are doing, we have another book that is parallel with Scriptures. No, the Confessions, they are a faithful summary of the Scriptures. God's Word, the Holy Bible, that's our final authority. And again, as J.I. Packer puts it, I've told you in the past, it's a good way how to summarize the New Testament just using three words. Adoption through propitiation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, we are adopted in Christ Jesus. And again, in Romans chapter 8, we just read, if you see in verse 15, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Isaiah 43:1 again. God created us. He formed us. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, in regeneration, God, He gives us a new heart. In justification, God makes us to have a right standing before Him. And in adoption, God, He gives us all the privileges that are there in Christ Jesus. Boys and girls, listen to what 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says. See what great the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. God not only created you in Christ Jesus, He has redeemed you and He has adopted you to be His son and His daughters. And at the same time, see the exclusivity of Christ here. The question, why are we adopted to be God's children? Because we are better than others? No. The Catechism does not teach that. Nor does the Scripture teach us. Why are we adopted as children of God? because of our good works? Again, no. The Catechism does not teach us, nor does the Scripture teach us. In fact, the Scripture says all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. But we are adopted as God's children. Why? The answer, the Catechism says, for the sake of Christ, His Son. What a great news is this, brothers and sisters of the Lord. God chose us. God adopted us to be His children. It's not because of us. It's because for the sake of His Son, Christ Jesus. That's a marvelous truth. That's a great truth. And sometimes we just forget about it. Let me give you an example. We always, you know that adopted children are always chosen children. If you were adopted, it means your parents chose you, right? We all have heard surprise pregnancies. We just wanted to have 3. The 4th one was a surprise. We just wanted to have the 5. The 6th one was a surprise. But have you ever heard about surprise adoption? I never heard it. Have you? It's not possible because people choose. A real-time example, our former minister, Reverend James Hard, he was a Dutch-American. He intentionally, he purposefully, he deliberately chose, adopted African-American kids. And likewise, God intentionally, purposefully, deliberately chose you and I to be His children. What a wonderful privilege is that? Think about it, brothers and sisters in the Lord. What a great privilege is that? And if you're here today and you're thinking, well, Christianity is just a bunch of rules that you need to keep. Do this, don't do this, do that, don't do that. I'm sorry. You are seeing a tree and you're missing the forest. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in Him will not die but have eternal life. God gave His Son for you. Christ Jesus, He came to die for you. Christ Jesus, He rose from the dead for you. And Christ Jesus, He is at the right hand of God, interceding for you. The question is, would you believe in Him? Would you trust in Him? Would you cling to Him as your Savior, as your strength for your salvation? God says He loves you and He is willing to adopt you as His child for Christ's sake, for Christ's sake alone. Now let us deal with the third point, how God the Father has provided for us in Christ Jesus. Again, I'll ask you to look with me when Heidelberg Catechism, Lord Say 9. Answer. You see, the second part of the answer, it says, I trust God so much that I do not doubt He will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and will turn my good, whatever adversity He sends upon me, in this veil of tears. And some of you at this point, you might be wondering, I understand that Jesus I'm adopted in Jesus Christ, that Jesus cares for me, my sin part is taken care of, but does he really care for my body too? Children, boys and girls, I have a question for you. Does God really care when you have a runny nose or a flu? Does God care? Is he bothered when you play a baseball or basketball or softball and you have your knees scratched? Does he care? Men, brothers, sisters, does God care that because this is COVID-19, everything is shut down and you lose your job? Does he care? Is he bothered? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10, he says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? But not one of them will fall to the ground unless apart from your Father's will. Christ cares for you. He says the very next verse, even the very hairs in your head are numbered. We read in Romans chapter 8, again look at me in verse 31 and 32. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I think we don't get this, do we? It's so hard, it's so wonderful, it's an amazing truth. Let me give you an example. It's like God giving us the most expensive car in the world, say a Lamborghini. And you are looking to God, will you give me a keychain for my car? It's like that. Let me give you another example. It's like God throwing a big party for you. You have the Japanese Wagyu. You can ask Doug Trips about all about the Wagyu meat. And you have the Indian spices. And you have the Dutch pastries. And the best Italian wine. God is throwing this party for you. And you coming up, showing up on the party, and you're wondering, can I have a Diet Coke or Dr. Pepper, please? That's our expectation. That's how God has given us. This is why Jesus says, when God has given His one and only Son, the best gift that the mankind can ever have, how much more will He give to lesser gifts of the world? That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans, they run after these things. But God calls us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things shall be handed unto us. That's the truth. And that's why Lord's Day 10, it picks up the theme in Lord's Day 9, that God provides for us all things, the good things, the bad things, and even the worst things for our own good. And as I said, even the worst things for our own good. Let me give you an example. Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans chapter 8 and most 13 other books of the Bible, when he was writing about this hardship, this difficulty, he was not sitting in an ivory tower and he was writing it as a mental abstract. In fact, he wrote what he experienced in Acts chapter 16. Apostle Paul, he cast out a demon from a girl who was fortune telling. And when the boss, when they came to know that they can't make money, they accused Paul and Silas to the magistrates. The magistrates ordered them to be whipped severely and thrown into prison. And in Acts 16:25, you read something astonishing. About midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying. They were singing hymns to God. Humanly, it's impossible. You have been thrown into prison, not because you did something wrong, but you're doing the gospel work, and the people, Paul, he sings it. He sings hymns and songs. How was it possible? Because he understands scriptures. Look at me in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And some of you, you may be wrestling to believe this reality. You might find it hard. You might find it difficult to wrap around this. Maybe, like Noah, you had a father who was abusive, who abused you verbally, who abused you physically. Maybe like Lot, you had a father who failed to protect you physically, who failed to protect you sexually. Maybe you had a father like Manasseh or Saul, who did not care about you at all. Maybe the very word father gives you chills in your spine. Maybe you would have lost your loved ones. Maybe your children abandoned you. Maybe your spouse was unfaithful to you. And you feel like your old body is literally on fire. And you feel like you are going down the rivers. This is what the Lord says. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames, they will not ablaze. Listen to the quote from Puritan Thomas Watson. He says, "When the wind of affliction blows upon the believer, God is in the wind. When the fire of affliction kindles upon him, God is in the fire to sanctify, to support, to refine." O sons and daughters of the Most High God, cast all your worries, cast all your cares, bring all your troubles, your pain, your ache, your shame, your guilt, and lay it on Jesus Christ. He's a faithful Savior. It is written in the scriptures. Cast all anxiety on Him. He cares for you. And God the Father, He has provided for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Finally, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, I want to end with a quote from J.I. Packer. Listen to what he says. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. This is what the scripture teaches us. This is what the Apostle Creed teaches us. This is what the Heidelberg teaches us. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, be comforted that God the Father has created you in Lord Jesus Christ. Be comforted that the Lord, that the God the Father has adopted you in Jesus Christ. Be comforted that the God the Father has provided for you in Jesus Christ. Because, and I'm sure, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And again, he's able to do this because he's an almighty God. He's willing to do this because he's your faithful Father. Amen. Shall we pray? Father God, Creator of heaven and earth, we thank you for creating and adopting and providing for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray, that we would walk as children in this veil of tears, in this fallen world. Strengthen us through your Holy Spirit. Enable us to cherish your love for us in Christ forever and ever. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.